You're always going to see a lot of people whose lives look great. But how does it feel? It's not just about some of the ingredients that we think of as, oh, that's what a great life looks like. Maybe there's more to it.
Hello, Clever Hammy's Tribe, and welcome back to Season 7. This is Episode 4. Today, we're going to be talking with a career coach, Mel Lou Maloney, who is actually a Hong Konger who gives career coaching in English and Cantonese. But she just told me that her name is Maloney by mistake, so you know I better start with that.
Growing up in Hong Kong, it's very common for people to have English names. You know, my parents, I think they just picked out Maloney in a book, but never heard it pronounced. But I guess they have heard the name Melanie pronounced before. I just ended up going by Mel. I actually kind of like Maloney as well. I used it in professional settings for a very long time. It just got me used to, oh yeah, I now have to refer to myself as Maloney. But you know, as part of my own journey into, you know, integrating more parts of myself and not feeling as though I'm living different lives, when I started my coaching practice, that's also when I decided to just go by Mel.
Yeah, I'm glad you said something because I was thinking Maloney was like your married name, like sometimes they do on LinkedIn, and I was thinking, okay, Mel Lou Maloney. No, it's Lou Maloney. That shows how much I know.
Yeah, it's confusing in more ways. I don't even get me started on the parts of my names that are neither Maloney or Mel.
So Mel, you have on your LinkedIn hashtag core human skills. Now most people think, okay, soft skills, hard skills. What are core human skills?
I feel like a lot of people tend to associate that with, oh, so those are the not important stuff. But I think they're really core. Your ability to sit with disappointment, to feel better, to know what your values are and how to communicate with other people in a way that's both authentic, but also more likely to get your message across. All these things are undeniably important, but most of the time we weren't taught them directly. A lot of these things have to do with how do we actually make decisions, especially when we do need to do this as a team. Not just to work better, but for us to also feel better.
I loved your copy on your website. You can tell you're a copywriter too, because you said it's it's life that looks better than it feels. And I was like, oh, that's so true.
And it's also just what people have told me and what I've observed. You're always going to see a lot of people whose lives look great. But how does it feel? It's not just about some of the ingredients that we think of as, oh, that's what a great life looks like. Maybe there's more to it. That speaks to both my own personal experience and the training that I'm doing to become a therapist. We now have a lot of knowledge on treating trauma. And so I really see a lot of hope. And tying back to this whole thing about core human skills, there's a certain type of trauma that I think can be quite common in my diaspora, which is the kinds that comes with growing up in a family that has gone through a lot of trauma. So a lot of these core human skills are never taught. How to grieve, how to sit with difficult emotions, how to talk to ourselves in a kind way, how to motivate ourselves without shaming ourselves, and how to actually live life as opposed to just trying to survive. But none of these things are set in stone. Like, this does not have to be your destiny. You've not learned how to really regulate your emotion, or you've not learned how to pay attention to your anger because anger was not acceptable at home, or you've only seen a really scary version of anger. But there's a lot of value in understanding this kind of emotion and what messages they may be signaling. It may be a sign that this might be a good time to enforce your boundary. So say no.
Self-help books out there or psychiatrists online that they give certain advice. And then even I'm looking at it as a Black woman. I'm like, if I did that, I would be in trouble. So are there some tips that people give that you're like, yeah, that's not really culturally sensitive? Do any come to mind?
I think the first thing that came to mind would be anything that's overly individualistic. I don't see one extreme being better than the other extreme. Being collectivist comes with its own set of issues. And I believe more in the happy medium. So more about interdependence, where you know who you are and you can hold your own. So even when you're part of a family unit, you still know who you are and that you are not them, as opposed to feeling like you're just being forced to do things. And I think a lot of that has to do with not seeing boundaries as something that's so forceful or that is a bad thing. It helps your relationships. They're not meant to keep people out. They can help keep certain things in check before all this resentment builds up anyways. And then we act out in behaviors. I really do believe it's a universal need to feel seen. Having boundaries, having healthy assertiveness can ensure that we do that. So for example, if I just let someone know that, okay, I can see where you're coming from. You think that when X happens, then Y will happen. And then maybe say, for me, however, it works a little differently. So I think in my case, I'm just going to do blah. And I think a lot of times people want their parents to agree with them. And also vice versa, the parents also want the kids to agree with them. And I feel like sometimes it's not actually that important. But I think it is important to communicate our understanding and just know that it is okay for me to do certain things even if you don't agree. As a software engineer at different startups, and I worked at two different startups, and especially that last one, I finally had that kind of stability that I wanted. Basically never had to work overtime. So yes, I feel like I had the stability and also the flexibility with my work as well, and the money to actually start going to therapy when it became apparent that I could not outrun all the traumatic things that happened in my life. Yeah, so one thing led to another, and I was really lucky to be living in a borough in London at the time that had this free peer counseling program. It's a program where quote-unquote regular people, as in anyone who's not a therapist, got to train in core counseling skills. That peer counseling experience was really life-changing. And they also had a number of training opportunities. So I was then trained as a group facilitator. And just before COVID, I managed to do their trainer training. And that was also when I realized I really enjoy this work. And then with COVID, I moved back to Hong Kong to stay with my mom. A friend that I'd reconnected with thought that, you know, the conversations we'd been having were so useful that he thought, you know what, you should talk to this other friend of mine. I'll connect you two and feel free to charge. And so it's like, oh, so I was thought, okay, if someone's found me a client already, maybe I'll give this a go. I basically just kept saying yes to things. I see my job as a coach, like one of the things that I do for my client is to help that we together co-design an action that, from my point of view, would be just the right amount of stretch.
Why did you decide, okay, I'm going to take this further and I should get a degree in counseling and psychotherapy?
The more I've read and learned about complex trauma, for example, the more I can see that it is rampant. So I think training as a therapist can allow me in the future to integrate both therapy and coaching because everyone's on a spectrum.
Yeah, it makes sense. So going back to the techie background, it's like fixing the hardware, but you still have a software issue. So it's good that you can help both sides now. Like, I'm sure a lot of your clients, past, present, and future, will appreciate that.
Yeah, I think so, because it's important to feel like the entire spectrum of your experiences is fine. It's something we can talk about. It's not like, oh, you've gone too far now. Now that's off limits. Therapy also has a bad rep. A lot of people think you only go to therapy if something's wrong with you. But you can also go to therapy for just self-understanding and growth. It's just that most of the time people don't really go to therapy for that, and they tend to gravitate towards coaching. I'm not precious about either of them. They all have, you know, their place. Not to mention there are so many types of therapy that some sound a lot like coaching. So I think I also want to be able to just help demystify therapy as well to more people from, yeah, the East and Southeast Asian communities. I am in this really privileged and interesting position of having that cultural awareness, you know, being fully bilingual. And so I'm also thinking about events or talks or workshops I might be able to do in the future when I actually have the qualifications with more culturally relevant examples, some of the basic or some useful mental health topics that can actually help people when there's still so much misunderstanding.
Yeah, it's good that you bring that up, that most people think, you go to therapy, you must be a little bit crazy. It's like, no, I'm going to therapy to figure some things out. I'm personally seeing a therapist for that reason. But for a long time, I didn't want to do it just because of the stigma related to it. Even though you don't have to tell anyone that you're going, I was so nervous. I'm like, okay, I'm going to pick a therapist that is not near any of my friends' house so they don't see me going there. It was that bad. But once I went, it did help a lot just to talk to someone who is outside of your environment, because you've seen things so often that you start to internalize them as normal. And then someone will tell you, that doesn't sound quite right. I'm glad you made it through that, but you shouldn't accept that type of behavior. And I can see how it made you feel that way. And you're like, oh. So you have a lot of realizations like that. To the listeners too, if you're thinking about therapy and you're still not really comfortable going somewhere, there's a lot of online therapy now too. So you can find a qualified therapist to help you online in the privacy of your home if you are still feeling kind of nervous about going out somewhere. When you started doing all these things, Mel, how did your parents react?
How do I put this? I think my mom has just enough faith in me, in the sense that I assume you know what you're doing. So yeah, I don't think she was happy or unhappy about it. The more I've been on this journey, the less I've needed her approval. But I guess even when I needed her approval, I had enough communication skills to sound convincing. And because I do have this track record of just being curious and interested in so many things, so it's not exactly out of character.
Some people who have been laid off and they want to go back into their industry in the same role that they were in, but that might not be possible right now. So what can they do to showcase their transferable skills, or even decide which ones they even have?
When it comes to transferable skills, they tend to include a lot of things that you might take for granted. Let's say on a resume, people tend to write the things that just sound really impressive. This one has numbers, so let's put that. But let's forget that version for now. What are some of the things that you've done that you're quite proud of, even if they don't seem to matter? One of the things that I would think of is when I worked in an advertising agency, I thought it was fantastic that I managed projects in a way where people didn't get angry when we had debriefings, or that people got to go home earlier. So I think sometimes it's even just to recognize that, what do these things have in common? Or rather, what did that achievement involve? And actually list those things down. It's helpful to do that across a number of jobs that you've had. You probably have already transferred some skills. It's probably not the first time. Don't underestimate how many skills are real skills and not just, oh, I thought everyone could do that.
Yeah, the only thing I would add to that too is it doesn't necessarily have to be a job that pays you money. It could be a club you were in school or something that you found easy to do as a kid. I know since I was in diapers, computers are my thing. I would be on the computer all day long. Thankfully, I still had diapers, but there were a few times when I pooped my pants because I didn't feel like getting up. I had a diaper, so. you're the most technical, non-technical person. I've been in that situation a few times as well, where you're the middle person that can explain the technical English to the rest of us normal people. They're like, you have to plug in the USB and then turn it on and boot into the BIOS. And they're like, what did he say? Turn it on and press this key so that you see a special screen. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a real skill. One thing I do want to add to the point about people who have been laid off, one of the core human skills is to process your emotions as well. Understandably, I know a lot of people need a job very soon after getting laid off. You probably still have, let's say, half an hour to sit with that emotion and recognize that it's a loss. And it's not just a loss of a job. It could be the loss of a future that you had in mind. A loss of a certain identity that you had that was tied to that job or tied to that role. A loss of a routine. And all of these things ought to be acknowledged and grieved even. Grieving is definitely one of the core human skills that even I wish I'd learned sooner. It's kind of like emotional constipation if you don't let it out.
It's the same thing. I would have done it. This is also kind of gross. Sorry. But if you're emotionally constipated and you wait too long to let it out, it's going to stink really bad. It's the same thing. If you hold that in too long, you're going to jump on somebody that didn't even do anything because you've been holding that in too long.
Yeah. Yeah. And then usually that's when people turn up to therapy.
Yeah. But outbursts like that can really hurt your reputation. It takes a long time to build a reputation. But then when you go off on somebody, there's a dent in your reputation.
Maybe this is going to be the last core human skill that I'm going to bring up in this conversation. But it's also about repairing ruptures. It's okay to screw up. We all screw up. But after you realize that, what do you do about it? Right? Some people take accountability. Some people pretend that it never happened. Some people blame other people. Like, well, if you hadn't said that, then I wouldn't have blown up. Right? It really says a lot, I think, when it comes to leaders in a workplace. What do they do when they screw up? And or how do they react when someone else screws up? Is this a safe environment where you acknowledge things, you hold yourself accountable, you make amends, and if there are people that you hurt, you apologize in a meaningful way? Or is it like we just have ruptures all over the place and nothing is ever repaired? If repair is possible, you don't need to walk on eggshells. If I know that if you and I misunderstand each other, it's not the end of the world. I know that it's not like you're gonna blow up. Then I don't need to watch what I say all the time.
I could talk to you forever, Mel, but we gotta wrap this up here. So where can someone find you if they want to work with you in a professional capacity or just hear more of your wisdom that you share on LinkedIn? Where are some places we can find you online?
Right. So I have my website, which is maloneycoaching.com, where I have a number of blog posts. So if anything I've shared in this conversation sounds interesting, you'll find more of that stuff on my blog. But I mostly hang out on LinkedIn these days. But yeah, follow me on LinkedIn and check out my website.
Mel, thank you so much. And Clever Hammers Tribe, thank you for staying with us until the end. This is Gabby V signing off, and we'll see you in the next one.